Who may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from John chapter 14, verse 21. Well, I'll start a couple of verses earlier. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. And because I live, you will live also. And in that day, speaking of the Pentecost, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode in him. He who does not love me and does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I'm going to go down a few verses. And he says, I've told you these things before it comes to pass, so that you'll believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, but he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Let me read that verse again. But that the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. The context, again, they seem to be contradictory statements, but of course they aren't. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you love me, he says, my Father will love you, and I'll love you also, and we'll make our abode with you. But he just earlier said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's been with you, but he'll be in you forever. Then the very next verse, or two verses later, he said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and I will come to him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. But he'd already said that that's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes. So he's talking about that which is true, and that which is manifestly true. And that is true, that if you're a Christian, you have been made complete in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in you. His presence is in you. He's made his abode in you, abiding in you. The next chapter is all about abiding. But then he talks about practical walking it out. He says, but if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, then my Father will love you. And I will love you also, and we'll make our abode with you. So put it in Southernese, all right? I love you, but if you keep my commandments, you love me, and we'll love on you. My love for you, favor will be manifest on your life. It'll be tangibly so that you're my dwelling place. We'll unpack our bags, make ourselves comfortable and at home in your life. We're there, but we'll manifestly spread out in your life. That's a powerful verse to me, that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he said, this is what will happen. If you want to know, people cry out for the anointing, and they cry out for this, they cry out for that, when he says simply, if you'll just live a life of obedience, the obedience of love, then you'll have my manifest presence and favor in your life. You have my presence, you have my love, but it'll be obvious that to everyone around you that acts of love are happening on your life, and you're my abiding place forever. And then Jesus goes down to the end of the chapter. He begins to warn them a little bit about what's going to happen. He says, I've told you this so that you'll believe beforehand. And then he talks about, now here's the example. He said, the Father's given me a commandment. And that commandment was to the cross. But he said earlier, so that the whole world will know how much I love the Father. I keep his commandment to go to the cross. And in light of that, he could say, the enemy has nothing in me. And I've always loved that. Jesus said, this is what I want you to understand. The Father loves me. I love him. You're in Christ. We love you. I love you. Father loves you. Holy Spirit loves you. You know, but what I'm talking about is demonstrative Christianity, demonstrative favor, demonstrative presence. And they said, I want the whole world to know how much I love the Father. I go to the cross not just to redeem the world, so that the whole world will know by my obedience how much I love him. It was an act of holy romance. And I thought about the gospel reading that Bracken read. I remember years and years ago, something the Lord ended up forcing me to do that he had wanted me to do for a while, and that I put off or didn't do. And he said, Chuck, stop putting me in a position of where I'm having to force the kingdom on you. I want your affection for me to grow so that you're taking the kingdom by force. That's an act of affection. That your love for me is so intentional. You're obeying. You're taking the kingdom by force instead of me having to always force the kingdom on you. That's a much better way to live the Christian life. And hopefully I'm the only one in the room that's put him in that position, but in case you've fallen into that category from time to time, it's a violent love he's looking for. God's love for us is violent in the sense that Song of Solomon says it's vehement. The very flame of the Lord is like the blue flame. It has a violence, not like angry, but in terms of the degree of passion that he has for us. He says, I want that you to have that kind of violent love for me, to where you're intentional, break through all the clutter and nonsense and warfare, but you're so intentional out of love to keep my commandments that you want the whole world to know how much you love me. So that's the life. That's the life I can camp out on. That's the life I can manifest my presence and favor. That's the life that what we call revival. It's not real complicated. I think sometimes we think revival is that you get somebody running around in a circle intercession, screaming, and finally they hit the right button. Don't know how they got there, but they finally hit the right button after years, and then God comes down. Well, here's the deal. He came down 2,000 years ago. He's in us. He wants to manifest himself. That's a done deal. And you've heard us talk about this before, is that instead of waiting for revival to show up, you are the revival. It's time we showed up. But it comes into life a violent love that takes the kingdom by force and intentional obedience. Not out of duty, out of delight. Jesus said in Psalm 40, verse 8, that Messianic, I delight to do thy will, O my God. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.